Good morning. We're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper. And as we mentioned last week, I want to spend 3 weeks talking about Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll consider the second lesson on that topic this morning. But I want to welcome everyone to our worship services this morning. We're so glad to have you with us. And we have a lot of visitors. And we're now going to focus on the Lord's Supper for a little while. And it's really nice that we are able to break bread with you, strangers, in some ways, but brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can share this memorial of our Savior's death with you this morning. Last time we talked about the fact that when Jesus prayed this prayer, you know, I think it's really a testimony to how horrible the cross must have been. If we needed any help comprehending that, I think we probably do. But the fact that, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, the strongest, most faithful man who ever walked the earth, when it came time, when the hour arrived, he actually prayed that somehow, if it was possible, the cup would pass, that he would not have to drink it. And I really believe what that means is he did not want to die on the cross. Is there not any other way? But the fact is, there was no other way. What we see in that, we really see his humanity. Without dismissing his deity, but we see the fleshly side of Jesus, that he did not want to go through all the suffering that he knew awaited him. And it's amazing, I think, just to stop and think about. He prayed this prayer. He asked the Father if it was possible. We also see, you know, his faith and his courage. And I want to talk about how this prayer really shows his faith and his courage also. And I want to ask you to turn, please, in your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. We're going to go back for one illustration. One of the greatest illustrations, I think, in the Bible of faith and courage. And it's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we're going to read in verse 16. But it's the story where Nebuchadnezzar had commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to fall down and to worship the image that you remember Nebuchadnezzar had created, or else they would be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, I think it's just a classic statement of great faith in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that's the case, in other words, if you throw us into the fire, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And I hope you can see that and appreciate it. I think it's one of the greatest statements of faith in all of the Word of God by these three Hebrews. First of all, we see that they were confident, you know, that God could, and they seem confident that he would deliver them from the fiery furnace. They knew that God could deliver them. And that's great faith. But even greater than that, they say, even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down to your image. I know God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to do something that I know is wrong. And I want you to compare that to Mark chapter 14 and the prayer that Jesus gave in the Garden of Gethsemane, because I think it is very similar. It says Jesus went a little further, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Compare this to the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you see that Jesus also understood that all things are possible, that God perhaps could have another plan. And that's what he says. He says, all things are possible with you. And then he qualifies it, if it's possible. But he recognized, you know, that God can do anything. But then we see Jesus also, he didn't have any assurance that God would come up with another plan. And so ultimately what he resigned himself to was he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He asked the Father if it was possible. But then he says, if not, I'm willing to do what you have asked me to do. Again, just the way he phrases that prayer, the things he says when he offers this prayer show how great his understanding and his faith really was. And I think there's a similar application, you know, to our life, that we should have those same types of attitudes. We also should pray this way. We can bring our desires to God, whatever they may be, whatever it's we're upset about, whatever is bothering us, or whatever temptations we're facing that are difficult to bear. And we can ask Him for help with our struggles and with our difficulties. And we can say, if it's your will, Father, deliver us from these circumstances. But I think we should also always say, if it's not your will to deliver us from these circumstances, not my will, but your will be done. We can ask for help. We can ask for deliverance. But we don't always have assurance that He will do that. And so ultimately, we have to be resigned that we're not going to betray God. Think about something just really important to you today that you want so badly for your life. It might be a relationship that you long for. And you can pray to God. All things are possible with God. And we should believe that. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. And we should resign ourselves to rejoicing in whatever really the will ultimately is. It might be a job that we're longing for. And we can ask God and ask Him to give us the desires that we have. But ultimately, not my will, but your will be done. It might be a physical illness or a health need that we have. All things are possible with God. He can deliver us from whatever it is that we are facing. We know that that is certainly true. But we should always say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I think it's a good example of how we should pray also. And this prayer is also, one more lesson I think we learn today, a testimony to the seriousness of our sin. Because God's Son's prayers notwithstanding, there was no other way that God could save us. Imagine how it felt for the Father to hear His Son praying this and begging the Father for help. But there was no other way that we could be saved other than for Jesus to go through the horrible death on the cross. And that testifies to the seriousness of sin. There's a great song we sometimes sing. It says, no angel could His place have taken. Highest of the high, though He. The highest angel there is. That would not be fitting to take the place of Jesus. The loved one on the cross forsaken was one of the Godhead three. Jesus, the Son of God, had to die on the cross for our sins. There was no other way that God could save us. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, perhaps one thought in our mind could just be the thanksgiving that we feel to God that He did provide this way and that He did allow His Son and that Jesus did go through with it. He was willing to die so that we could be saved because He loves us and because He was committed to being obedient to the Father. Let's bow our heads now and give thanks for the bread.